This week, we're continuing with our new series called Faded Disc. Welcome to the Fringe Files podcast, your source for in-depth exploration of the strange and mysterious. Our goal is to uncover the truth behind conspiracy theories, UFOs, and the New World Order, and many other fringe topics, all from a biblical worldview. Faded Disc is a collection of radio broadcasts about the UFO phenomenon. Spanning more than 40 years and over 200 hours of recording, this show is a tribute to the work of independent researcher Wendy Connors, who originally shared these recordings on CD-ROMs from her homemade website. So each week, we're going to share one of these classic interviews that happens around the UFO phenomenon. This week, we're going to look at the Betty and Barney Hill case. This is a rare interview from Barney, as he relates what happens to him and his wife Betty during their encounter of an alien abduction in 1961.
All right, Mr. Hill, in New Hampshire, could you give us the story of that sighting?
Well, this happened in 1961, Tuesday the 19th of September. And my wife and I were returning from New Hampshire, from Canada to New Hampshire. We were driving along Route 3, and it was approximately 11 o'clock at night in the evening when we saw what looked like a bright star in the heavens. It was the brightest star up there, and it was very clear night. So my wife remarked, I was driving the car, and she remarked that the star had begun to move. So this caused me to look through the windshield up toward the sky, and I told her that it was probably a satellite, nothing to get alarmed about. We did have a pair of 7x50 crescent binoculars with us. So I stopped the car, and we got out, and she took the binoculars and was looking at the object, and I reached under the seat to get our little doggy, a little dachshund, and put the chain on her to walk her about while my wife was looking at the object. And she then passed the binoculars to me and said, well, you must really look at this satellite because it's not behaving as we would expect a satellite to behave like. Well, I took the binoculars from her, and I, too, began looking. And surprisingly, this, what I thought was a star and a satellite, began coming in my direction at a very rapid rate of speed. I was standing, to give a picture, I was standing facing the west, which would have been toward Vermont. And the object was coming from my left, which would have been to the south of me. And as it passed my right shoulder, it was quite a distance out. It made a left turn, completing the turn, and coming in toward me. Well, this caused me to become quite alarmed, and I told my wife, well, apparently it is not a satellite. It must be a passenger plane, and they obviously are looking at us, and I thought that the pilot was having fun, that he could easily see our car with the dome light on. We had not passed any traffic that evening, going or coming in either direction. So I felt a bit uncomfortable to see this, what I thought was a plane, come in our direction. So I returned to the car, and so did she, and we drove down the highway. We continued driving south, and my wife would occasionally remark that this object was still following us. It was flying in a very erratic pattern, and she wanted me to stop, and I would occasionally and look over in toward her side, and I could see that this light was still out there moving about. It would go up, and then it would come down at very rapid and odd patterns of flight. Well, then I thought it was probably a military craft, and I was thinking of the hot rod-type flyer, and apparently they were having fun with us. These are the thoughts that were going on in my mind, because I had not at any time ever given any thought to UFOs. You might say that I was a bit cynical about the entire idea concerning unidentified flying objects. Well, this continued on for several miles as we would travel and stop and look and then continue to travel again. And finally, my wife became very upset. She said, I must stop the car again. Look, right overhead. And I looked through the windshield off to the right on her, the passenger side of the car, and this object now was very extremely close, and it was moving backwards. And what I failed to mention is when we saw the object off in a great distance, it appeared to be winking But now that it was close, it looked as if there was just one solid band of light, and this was moving backwards. And I had slowed the car down to approximately 5 miles an hour. Well, this was very upsetting, so I came to a complete stop in the center of the highway. I got out of the car, and I took the binoculars. I rested my left arm on the door that was open at the car door and my right elbow on the roof of the car, and I tried to look, but the car was motor was running, so I had to step away. As I stepped away from the car, the object swung from the passenger side over to the left, which would have been the side that I was driving, and making a large arc-like turn, placing it over a field. Well, this was very alarming to me, and I began walking across the highway, looking up at the object with the binoculars, putting them down, shaking my head, saying, well, this just can't be true. I don't believe it. And I continued to walk until I was about, approximately 100 feet in this field, across this field, and the object was just above me. And this is when, while looking with the binoculars, I could see what I thought was approximately 9 to 11 men, I would describe them. I would say that they were men. There was nothing grotesque about them. Looking back at me, looking down through this plate of glass, a series of windows toward me. So I then was quite alarmed, but they, of the group that was looking, they all turned to the back of that was facing the back of them. There was a panel. It looked as if it was a panel. They began pulling levers. Only one object continued to stare from the window down toward me. And I then saw two red lights on the side of the craft, which seemed to be the extension of a wing, a fan-type wing, I would describe it. Not a conventional wing that we associate with airplanes, but more of a fan-type thing, moving away from the side of this object, which had the shape of the so-called flying saucer. Well, this was too much for me, and I made a hasty retreat to the car, screaming to the wife that they had seen me, they had seen us, and we had to get away. And this was the extent of the sighting, which I found very distressing and very difficult to believe.
Mr. Hill, did you report this to anyone?
Yes, we did. After we arrived home in Portsmouth, well, we decided we wouldn't mention this to anyone, that it was too ridiculous, too absurd for us to believe. Yet we knew we had seen something, that was strange to us. I suppose we can both tell what a plane looked like, and I failed to mention that there was the absence of any sound. There was absolutely no sound associated with this object. It must have at the time been approximately 100 feet up or above my head. This would be about 10 stories up. The size of it was about approximately, if you were looking at a large military plane or at any commercial airliner from tail to head, this is the size of it as the series of windows were around it. This is how huge it was. When we arrived in Portsmouth, we decided not to tell anyone, but my wife decided she would tell her sister. Well, she called her sister, and she said, well, hang up. She was going to call a friend of hers that is a physicist and ask what he knows about these things. So she called us, and her sister called us back to tell us that the physicist had suggested that we go out and see if there was any radioactivity around, anything unusual about the car, if we had a compass to take it with us. Well, this was too much for me. I told my wife that, as far as I was concerned, I wanted to forget the whole thing. And so she said, well, where's the compass? And I told her, well, I don't know. I put it somewhere. And she said, well, where's the compass? I said, oh, geez, if you're going to keep this up, I'll smash the compass. And she said, well, if you do, I'll go out and buy another one. And so she found the compass. She went out. She came back in to the house very excited and insisted on me going out and looking at her car. We were using her car at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the trunk of her car, there were these large, shiny spots about the size of a silver dollar. There must have been approximately 20 of these spots, not in any particular pattern, but just these spots on the trunk. After having traveled the distance we had, the car was quite dusty, but these spots were very, very highly shiny. And wherever she would put the compass near these spots, the compass would spin But if she placed the compass close to any of the areas where the spots weren't located, surprisingly, the compass then would tilt downward toward the middle of the car. Well, I thought this was a bit unusual because I did try to say, well, in any time you take a compass and place it around any metal, particularly like a car with a battery, it will attract a magnet to it. But the fact that the compass would spin only in the area where the spot was located, I thought was a bit unusual. And then this is when my wife decided, well, we should notify someone, and we thought of notifying the military base located in this area.
And briefly, what was their reaction to this?
It was curious and interesting. I didn't want any parts of it. I told my wife that she could go ahead and contact them and leave me out of it. But while talking to her, then they asked for me to give my account of it. And this drew me into the conversation. So I also talked to a major, and he then explained to me that the conversation was going to be monitored and that I was to hold on, and the conversation was not going to take place at this particular military establishment, but elsewhere, but he did not designate where. So I held on for a few minutes, brief minutes, and then another voice came on telling me to tell all that I had seen and give an account, a full account and description of this thing that I had seen.
And have you heard from them since that time?
This was on, they called back the following morning about 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning. I thought what this officer had to say was very interesting. He did not elaborate on why he said this, but he said he had been up all night working on the description of the wings of this and the two red lights. And could I give any more information? Well, I had given him all the information I could at the time about it, and that was the extent of the contact we had with the military, with the Air Force.
Can you describe these people or things you saw at the window?
To give a description of them?
Yes.
Yes. Well, there was nothing unusual about them. They did have on what I thought was a black-type shiny uniform, similar to the kind you find motorcyclists wearing, the black leather-type jackets and whatnot. And the one that I will now, just for identifying purposes, call a leader, he had on a military-type cap with the visor, while the others did not. And they moved back to the away from the window, while this one with the black leather-type uniform, I will say uniform, continued to look down at me.
Well, I think you indicated earlier that they were pretty human-looking.
Yes, and you have to consider that looking at anyone in a window 10 stories up with a binocular, the only thing you can discern is that they look human and nothing grotesque about them.
Mm-hmm. Hill, this is Wes Fitch. Did you feel there was anything sinister about these people? Did you get that impression?
Yes, I did. Only that it was a strange situation, and therefore I have thought of this many times. That is to say, was there anything sinister about them, or was it because of the unusual situation that I was in, magnifying my feelings? I did feel that there was something sinister, strange, unusual about the whole thing.
Do you feel that those spots had anything to do with that beeping sound that followed your car?
I failed to mention that, didn't I? When I returned to the car, when we were up in the mountains, when I mentioned to my wife that, oh my God, I said, they are looking at us, and they have seen us, and they're coming after us. When I returned to the car, there was a series of beeps. These beeps were very peculiar because it was much like a tuning fork being struck and placed against you, a very subtle type vibration. And that's the way the car vibrated. And it was beep, 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 beep. And I said to my wife, my God, what is that? I said, look out the window. They're right overhead. And she looked out of the window, but you couldn't see anything. And later we find out that you couldn't see the sky as well. So apparently the craft had moved overhead over us.
Hmm. Do you think that the metal discs then did have anything to do with that beeping sound?
I do, yes. The thing that has continued to be an enigma, a puzzle to me, is that I said, my God, they're going to capture us. And I have never understood why. I cannot understand why I made that remark. only to have the beeping sound. And then 35 miles further south, we were beeped again. And this is the only time my wife and I then began to communicate with one another by saying, well, what was it we saw? This is surprising because that 35-mile period, we did not discuss anything.
This is Earl Neff speaking. You didn't have a relaxed feeling at any time, did you?
Yes.
You did?
After I returned to the car and I told my wife they were going to capture us, and she looked out of the window and she said she could not see them, or the object, and then we had the series of beeps, there is just a void, you might say, because we did not, again, mention anything about having seen anything until... We were now 35 miles further south, and we saw what we thought was a bright moon. And I said, oh, my God, not again. And then we were beeped again. And then from that point, we started talking with one another about, well, what do you think of that? And my wife asked me, well, do you believe in flying saucers now? And I said, oh, don't be silly. Of course not.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Fringe Files podcast. Make sure to see the link in our show notes to follow us on social media and find out more information about our Bible study guides. I hope you've enjoyed learning more about the strange and unexplained topics we have covered. Please join us again next time when we'll explore another topic that will leave you questioning the world around you. Until then, keep your eyes on the sky.